So here today, it's a small group of participants day. Otherwise in India, if you go to Vrindavan, it's like so
full, the whole outside, so whole nice. Is full.
Whole temple is Prabhupada, yeah. Room is full, yes. Kirtans,
yes, sir.
What so nice. So what is so special about Prabhupada? That's what we are today remembering him. And there were many acharyas before him, Ramanuja, Madhva, Shankara, Vallabha, but Prabhupada is special because Prabhupada, they all preached. They all made disciples. They all propagated devotional service. No doubt about that. But Prabhupada gave this process to the lowest of mankind. And that's very difficult to do. Because those all acharyas were preaching in India. And that time, I mean, it is presumed that people were well-cultured. It was already, they don't have to teach them culture. They don't have to teach them etiquette. They don't have to teach them how to respect Guru. You don't have to teach them basic stuff. But Prabhupada came and he made animals into devotees. Animals into sannyasis. What do you do with that? Prabhupada used to say, this is my magic. So I don't need to do magic. And this is very difficult because even to change one person, it's difficult. We know in preaching. And Prabhupada not only taught them how to eat, how to talk, he also taught Matajis how to wear sarees, he taught them how to wash their backs. They weren't washing their backs.
Yeah, they don't know.
They're not taking bath. So from very simple things to the highest concept of ecstasy and separation. And that no acharya has done in the history. And because to do that you need a lot of tolerance, a lot of patience. And that's what Prabhupada was doing. Prabhupada was surrounded by crazy people. If you use that word crazy, they were all mad. All hippies, they were doing bizarre things. They were like behind Prabhupada, they were all, many of them were all involved in illicit sex. Most of them, even though they became devotees, many of them were planning to throw Srila Prabhupada out of his con. They became like that. And one devotee, when Prabhupada, I think in Portland it happened, exactly I don't know, but Prabhupada came and that devotee, Prabhupada got out of the car. So devotee was handling the temple, so-called temple manager, just 1-2 years. He came running and he hugged Prabhupada. And he said, Prabhupada, how are you? Nice. Prabhupada was shocked about what's happening, you know. Because they hug no hair. So they didn't know that you have to offer obeisances to Guru. So Prabhupada was special in that thing because Prabhupada could elevate people. Prabhupada could actually come down to their platform. It's very difficult to come down. It's easy to go high. It's almost impossible to come down. He could come down and take them and put on a high thing. So you can come down, but then coming back again, it's difficult to bring people back. No, people are drowning and You can go in the sea and you can swim back. But you have to pull people up. And that's what Prabhupada did. Prabhupada also was very practical. Very practical for this age. Prabhupada said, I hatched a plot. I gave this system of book distribution so that people can sustain themselves at the same time do devotion. So he was actually practical. Any other devotee, he would have thought, okay, fine, you know, you just surrender to Krishna. Everything will happen. But Prabhupada was not like that, everything will happen. He said, no, why everything will happen? We should apply intelligence, have some practical program. That was all Prabhupada. Have some practical program. How are you going to do this, tell me. So how are you going to generate funds, for example? Okay, distributing books, but how do you generate funds? So Prabhupada was giving us some practical solutions. Tips, because Prabhupada said, yes, you can be fully dependent on Krishna, but then that will be like taking service from him. No. So you apply intelligence to the best, then leave to Krishna. That's what. So many people couldn't understand Prabhupada because Prabhupada was acting like a businessman. That's what Prabhupada was. He was almost acting like a businessman. Okay, how funds will generate, how this institution will happen, who will lead, what are the results, policies of ISKCON institution. And many of his godbrothers couldn't understand Prabhupada. They couldn't really make out, is he saint or is he a businessman or is he a manager of an institution. Like they were confused. So that was another specialty of Prabhupada. He could give a practical plan. And one actually special thing about Prabhupada was he could create services and not just give service. So he, as an acharya, he could actually create some service from out of nowhere. And like, you do this. We don't do like that. We say, okay, you do book distribution, you do this, you do this, you do this. And you have to fit yourself in these four. But Prabhupada, if he saw he couldn't fit there, he could give a plan according to him and do that. Like for example, one devotee was like, he couldn't do any much service in the temple. He was like little out. So he was not existing in book distribution, he was not existing in cooking, prasad, no department. And Prabhupada called him, Prabhupada. In Mayapur, Prabhupada said, okay, so what do you like? What do you do? And he said, okay, nothing much, but I play my piano daily. Oh, sorry, that violin? Mm-hmm. I play that. Prabhupada said, okay, so you travel all around the world, play your violin, sing Hare Krishna, and preach. And he was so happy. He just left and I don't know what happened, but he was doing that. So you see, he created service for him. So he was a best. An acharya is a person who can tailor services according to that person. But for that, you should have intelligence, no? To create some other service. So for Matajis who like painting, Prabhupada said, okay, paint for Krishna. But he didn't simply say paint. He gave a plan for that also. We can also say, okay, you like violin? Okay, play violin. But then what to do with that? Where's the plan? That's what is creating services. He identified what that person liked and then he said, do the service in this way. This is a plan. And then you fill the details. That's what made Prabhupada special. That's how he could engulf everybody. Everybody. There was one devotee, Haridas Prabhu, you know Haridas Prabhu? ITB.
I know him. Yes.
Yeah. So he came to Prabhupada and Prabhupada said, okay, you are this man filled media. So you make movies, whatever. He got inspiration. Okay, I'll do this. But then Prabhupada said, how to do it? Okay, you set up office here and you do this, you contact this person, this person, this person, this person, and then, okay, two details. So that is Prabhupada. That is called mercy. Mercy is not just giving. Mercy is creating something, and then you come and see, it's already done, you have to live. That is mercy, no? Not that you make your house and then then it's not a complete thing. So Prabhupada said, I made this ISKCON so that everybody can come and live here and take association. That's Prabhupada. So that, and Prabhupada's actual determination was very strong. That's so special about Prabhupada's determination. He was a man of iron determination. He didn't break his determination. I mean, the whole life he was preaching, but 30 years he was preaching in India, not a single devotee. You can imagine. He was writing magazines.
There was one in Hyderabad or something.
One in Allahabad.
Allahabad.
That was his person, Indian. And that too, he also used to argue with Prabhupada. Always. He was a so-called disciple, but he used to argue with Mayavadi, you know, like Prabhupada was. So it seemed Prabhupada is a failure. First 30 years, you print books, you print magazines, you travel all around, you preach, but nobody. But Prabhupada didn't lose courage. That was his quality. And why? Because, of course, he was in contact with God. So, of course, he was sent by Krishna, we all know, especially to preach. He didn't lose courage. And then he went to America. 1 year, nothing happened. We all know, history. He got heart attack. He got problems. See, first he got two heart attacks, then he got problem in America. 1 year lived, he came back. He got himself treated. He again went back. And then slowly things took up. And he was doing everything when he was alone. Like at the age of 70, you know, he was In India, he had a room in Radha Damodar Temple. You all know? Radha Damodar. He was staying in Radha Damodar Temple.
So where Radha Damodar?
Vrindavan.
Oh, Vrindavan.
He had his temple. There's a temple. He had a room. He used to stay there. And then he used to daily go to Chani Chowk. And he had a room there. Chippiwada. They have renovated. So you go and see, and it's like a small place somewhere in there. So he was sitting, he was like traveling, commuting every day. Mm-hmm. And actually he could understand what Bhakti Siddhanta wanted. None of his godbrothers could really get that spirit. I mean to say, his godbrothers were elevated, like Bhakti Sridhar Maharaj, Kesha Pragya Maharaj. Mm-hmm. But they couldn't really understand what was the mood and spirit of Bhakti Siddhanta. Mm-hmm. And he could understand. Mm-hmm. And that is why he could understand that what's that? Bhakti Siddhanta used to say, "Pran ache, e to prachar." Exactly. If you have life, mm-hmm. you should preach. Mm-hmm. If you're not preaching, you're dead. And he took this to heart. And that's why when people used to ask him, "Why you are in the whole days traveling to Delhi here? And there, what's happening?" You know. So he said that for me, staying in Vrindavan is Maya. He said that. Mm-hmm. It's illusion for me because it's the order of my guru, and I should preach. And he took that. And then, first Prabhupada was trying to go to Japan. You all know, he was trying to go to Japan.
Oh no, I didn't know.
Yeah, in Lilamrit. Mm-hmm. And he did everything. There was some exhibition. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to display in exhibition arts, Krishna arts, and preach. So he prepared everything. He had no money, but he collected money. He hired a Japanese artist. He made paintings. By the end moment, that cancelled it. Like passport, visa, he couldn't make it. He invested so much money, it all got waste. But then, all these arts, it is there available with us. That book, Krishna Art, you know that? That's that Prabhupada made at that time. And then, Prabhupada was deciding to go to Europe. But Europe, he was thinking, but somehow he couldn't figure out what's happening. He asked Rabindranath Tagore. He met Rabindranath Tagore. Rabindranath Tagore was that time, no? Mm-hmm. So he asked him what's... Because he was traveling. Mm-hmm. He was an English Babu. Mm-hmm. So he was traveling in England, Germany. So he asked him, like, what do you say about the situation of Europe? Mm-hmm. So Rabindranath told, see, Europe is a difficult place because people are very egoistic. Jewish people. Mm-hmm. And that time, already Nazi and all these things happened, no? Mm-hmm. So they are very egoistic. It's difficult for them to hear. He suggested you go to America. Because Americans are very open now. And there is a hippie movement going on. Mm-hmm. Some idea. And Americans are more flexible than Europeans. Mm-hmm. So then he thought, okay, fine. He planned to come to America. And within 10 years, he went around globe for how many times? 14 times, yeah. 14 times he went. There's nobody who traveled so much. At that time, mm-hmm. you can imagine at that time, planes, there were no, very less flights. Who knows about flights? Mm-hmm. And Krishna was taking Prabhupada to so many places. And wherever Prabhupada went, even for a single day, there is today ISKCON movement. Mm-hmm. If we go for one day, nothing happens. Mm-hmm. You live for 10 years, you know, nothing happens much. He went for 3 days in Russia or what? Something like this. And the whole movement took up in Russia. Mm-hmm. And he went, many places he went in America just for one day. Mm-hmm. And everything took up. In Africa probably he never went, but still preaching started. In Saudi Arabia he didn't go, but they were preaching all around the globe. So why he could do all these things? Because he was having a force. There was a force with him. He was forcing people. He had the sense of urgency. You have to save this planet. Mm-hmm. That vision his godbrothers didn't have. They had philosophy. They had good sadhana, purity, dedication to Bhakti Siddhanta. But that's saving the planet. Mm-hmm. He didn't have. And Prabhupada writes in one of his Gita purport that we should save entire material universe. He is thinking very big. So when, I think almost at the end of the, like 1976, 75 something, movement was established, and Prabhupada was seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's photograph, he was weeping. And devotees asked, what happened? Prabhupada said, you look there, there was an ant. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada said, it is not a devotee now.
It is?
It is still not to become a devotee.
Okay.
You see how he's thinking? It's a different kind of thinking. He's thinking of making everybody in material universe devotee. So Prabhupada said, think big, then you can accomplish something. Mm-hmm. That's how business people think, no? You think in millions, crores, and then you end up earning something, no? Is it? You are a businessman. So,
yeah, Prabhupada... I'm a businessman.
He was.
I was in business.
As we discussed, at least business mentality. Mm-hmm. So, that Prabhupada's hopes and dreams were very big as an acharya. Our dreams are very small. Okay, we'll save ourselves. But then it doesn't work. Then we are not in the mood of Prabhupada. Let's say Guru Maharaj is saying, do something spectacular for Prabhupada. Mm-hmm. Now, how come Guru Maharaj is saying this? From where he's getting inspiration? From Prabhupada. Mm-hmm. Because Prabhupada did something spectacular for Bhakti Siddhanta. So the parampara is carrying down. So if you want to please Prabhupada, you have to, at least if you can't do, you can dream. At least you can dream what's the harm in dreaming. You can become a dreamer. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we'll dream something crazy stuff. And maybe Krishna fulfills your dream. Who knows? Who can tell? He can do. He can choose anybody. He's free to do that. He chose Prabhupada. Nobody could expect out of all disciples of Prabhupada, Prabhupada is going to do worldwide preaching. Mm-hmm. Nobody. When Prabhupada came back to India in Jagannath Puri, I think there was some of his godbrother in Gaudiyamath, Chaitanya Gaudiyamath. He was going with his disciples. So he was going with his disciples, foreign disciples. They were not allowed Jagannath Puri, so they were going. And this person, he came out. He was sannyasi, he came out. He saw Prabhupada and he said, I was shocked after so many years with foreigners. And he said, Ave Babu, out of everybody, you did it. I could be like, you are a householder with some kids, normal businessman. These were big sannyasis, godbrother, and how come you did it? So why Krishna chose him? Because of his determination to do something for God. But the result, Krishna didn't give results like this, no. He waited. And he, of course, he was not actually testing Prabhupada, but he was showing us through him that, see, I will reward, but you have to work for that. I will fulfill your desire, but you should deserve for that. And that deservance is, that deserving quality is perseverance, determination, day after day, day after day, day after day, you are going on, going on, going on, going on, in spite of all difficulties. That's the point. Prabhupada's journey was not smooth. DK, Maya, Macharya, and everybody is doing. It was very tough, very tough. And that's what actually helps us to understand his love also. It was smooth, who could appreciate love? And the best quality of Prabhupada is, although he is founder Acharya of ISKCON, still outside ISKCON nobody knows him. Who knows Prabhupada? Everybody knows Hare Krishna movement. After coming to ISKCON, then you know Prabhupada, and that too after some time. Indians will, even Indians still do not know. Indians are more attached to, they come to ISKCON for Krishna, no?
For Krishna.
Not really for Prabhupada. Krishna, no. Yeah. Even ISKCON devotees. Why we take initiation in ISKCON? It's more for Krishna, because it's in the blood. Krishna, bhakti and all. But these foreigners, they come to ISKCON only for Prabhupada. There's a difference. They, because for them, he's really saved them. He didn't know anything. But for us, okay, we knew Krishna and everything. So it was a little mixed for us. So, but then after coming to ISKCON, you know after some time this is Prabhupada, this is. And then after many years, you read Prabhupada Lila Amrit. Still people do not know ISKCON devotees. Many people do not read about Prabhupada daily, read about Krishna. So what it shows? It shows that Prabhupada was very humble. He didn't promote himself. And you take any institution, all institutions are famous by their founders, no? Ram Krishna Mission, Chinmay Mission, Yogananda Paramahamsa Mission, all. But ISKCON is not famous by Prabhupada Mission. It's famous by Hare Krishna. He kept himself behind. And people used to come to temple. People used to ask Prabhupada, where is Prabhupada? I want to meet him. Prabhupada is doing gardening there. Prabhupada also used to joke, yeah, he's there inside. After some time, talk to me. He was like that. So, his nature, he was soft as a rose, hard as thunderbolt. That was like him. He was like Krishna. Almost like Krishna. So, in preaching, he was like a tiger. He was destroying. Prabhupada said, I am the only acharya who has come to West, is traveling all around the world, and who is opposing all wrong ideas. There is nobody before him who opposed every single idea. He was after every single idea, no? Politics, he was saying against politics, he was saying against economics, he was saying against social structure, saying against science, saying against all bogus religious people. He was just cutting.
Even the cardinals of so many...
Yeah. He was just speaking. He was saying, I am the only person.
Of soul and animals, I said, really?
So I am the only person. Nobody did that. He was a fighter, actually, of Krishna. Just like Arjuna. He was not the ordinary saint. Chalo bhai, nice and okay, Ashirvad. To help people, because Kali Yuga, there are so many wrong things, you know, people are so confused. So one aspect of mercy is fighting. That's one aspect. But it's not always fighting, of course. But one aspect is fighting, which Prabhupada showed that spirit. And he gave to us. And we can do whatever capacity we can, but that's the day today. Prabhupada disappeared, but he left his legacy. That's what he left, especially in his books. Yes. Prabhupada said, I will live forever in my books.
Yes.
And if you want to understand Prabhupada, through books we can understand. Because Prabhupada disciples are leaving.
Yes.
See, after 10 years there will be no Prabhupada disciple. Maybe after 5 years. Like it's like,
it's very
quickly they are just going off. So then what? Then Prabhupada books. They will always be with us, no? But only books cannot help. Only books will never take this movement forward for 10,000 years. You need people who are following books to show example. Otherwise, people say, where are the people? And you need people who will follow those books. They will understand what Prabhupada says. You had proper realization, no? If you follow instructions, otherwise. So, that is why it is a duty to read Prabhupada books and follow them. Get realizations and understand what Prabhupada wanted. So, we are the people who can keep Prabhupada alive through for 10,000 years. It is our responsibility. By our realizations, by our actions, by everything. It's a big responsibility today. Prabhupada disappearance day, it's not a light day. It's a heavy day in one sense. Because this day demands responsibility from all of us. And time is less. Time is very less. We can die anytime. At least I think so. I am very conscious of death. Very, very conscious. And everybody should be, no? We can die anytime. There's no time to joke. Joke we can do, that's okay, but there's no time to joke. We have a mission. Prabhupada always gave us a sense of mission.
Right.
Prabhupada always said, this is my mission. This is a movement. Movement is a mission, no?
Mission.
It's a movement. And we have to take it forward. Christians are doing. Christians have this spirit, no? Christ said, you preach and then they die. Mohammedans, Islamic people, they also have Prophet Muhammad said mission and they are doing. Of course, they are doing in a wrong way. They're killing. But they have this sense. But we are losing our sense in ISKCON now. This sense of mission and movement. That's what Prabhupada came to give us. That's what he was handed over by Prabhupada. Prabhupada means Prabhupada's guru. Prabhupada. And that's what was pretty much handed over to all of Parampara. Because knowledge is there. Knowledge was already there. In such Sandarbhas it was there. All Goswami books it was there. But that spirit you have to keep alive. Because if you lose spirit, you also lose knowledge. Because if you lose spirit, you misinterpret information. No? If you don't have a mood, if you don't approach with proper spirit that subject, then you will start misinterpreting that. Is it? By your own angle?
Yes.
So that's what Prabhupada gave us. And he got from Bhaktisiddhanta. And that's why he could understand all those books. Especially books of Bhakti. Prabhupada said, Bhaktisiddhanta wrote books for me. Mm. Because nobody could understand his books. If you read his English, if you read his Bengali, you can't understand anything. Even like I learned Bengali, and even ordinary Bengali people, when I show Bhaktisiddhanta's work, they can't understand what he's speaking. Big sentence. Mm-hmm. And so complex vocabulary. Mm-hmm. So there's words written. Mm-hmm. Then because I have trained myself to read that, so I read and tell. Mm-hmm. And I can understand. At that time, many people could not understand what he's speaking. Bhaktisiddhanta himself told, there's one defect in me. I make things complex. I can't speak it simply. So, but Prabhupada, that's why Prabhupada could understand his books, because he understood spirit of Bhaktisiddhanta. That's why he could understand. Other people were also there, why didn't understand? But they didn't catch the spirit. So that's what we have to get from Prabhupada. Then Maharaj is writing book, Mood and Mission of Prabhupada. So we have to get that mood and mission. And that will come if we read his books, follow what he says. So it's a very nice day. Mm. You celebrate every year like
yes,
this?
Yes, yeah,
every year like this you celebrate?
Like we do it in the temple, like this separately.
Oh, maybe every year you should call people. Call means, you can call everybody for this function.
Today we are having a Govardhan Puja, then we thought that you will give a lecture on Prabhupada Disturbance Day.
I will give seminar, But I'm just mentioning, if there's not like that, probably you can do like this, call elderly initiated devotee,
right.
Ask them to speak about Prabhupada. Actually, they should have habit of speaking about Prabhupada. This will help them. Mm-hmm. Because nobody speaks about Prabhupada much, no? Mm-hmm. And you know what, when I do in India, this Prabhupada Disappearance Day, I call and I tell them, see, the rule of this day is, don't speak about yourself. And now speak. So then very few people are able to speak. It happens, no?
Yeah. We always link ourselves.
Yeah.
The mercy.
Just like we were doing, many devotees, okay. Just like you were also saying, okay, Prabhupada, you saved me. That is good. But you're not really glorifying. See, for glorification, we should know about Prabhupada.
Exactly.
Yeah. But in one sense, you're glorifying because this shows that he saved fallen people like us. But it's not real glorification. So I tell them, see, if you want to speak about Prabhupada, you should read about Prabhupada. And come, you should have something, information. So you can do that. Like that. You can give this rule to people. You don't have to speak this. And now you have to speak about Prabhupada. So then you have to read. And then call, let them speak. So they get trained.
It's
small, like this. No, like this.
Yeah.
Just here.
Just
this table, same setup. All Lalita Angi Mataji on all these intimate devotees initiated, core devotees, offer, speak, finish.
Yeah, we could have done it after the class.
Yeah,
actually, we forgot.
Prasadam.
Yeah, it was like, anyway, so it's a fortune we have it. Connected to Prabhupada.
Yes, very fortunate.
And let's hope we can do something for him before we take our last breath.
Yes.
And die.
I pray for that.
Let's pray to Prabhupada like that. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.